You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. 7:07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. 790-2040 is the phone number. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. Again, if I say something mean about you and you want to cry like a local chamber of commerce CEO, go to patty@kvoi.com. And we are sitting down with today's Johnny Cash versus Willie Nelson. So our man in black, Josh Jacobson, is here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All 32 listeners are actually here.
And I do like Willie, but I am more of a Johnny Cash guy.
Oh, had to be. Yeah. Had to be. The last time you were here for Food Friday, and you basically pulverized, in a good way, everyone was taking a nap all morning with the Lucky Wishbone tidal wave.
There was great joy in the Bustos Media headquarters.
Did you guys try it out in the air fryer for the leftovers?
You know, I just bought an air fryer. Mrs. D did last Sunday, so it was too late to do the air fryer reheat.
Well, we can do a redo anytime you like.
I appreciate it. We did do wings in the bought the party wings at Costco. Did them in the air fryer this weekend.
Good.
That's a winner.
Did your air fryer have a strange smell when you first started using it? Like kind of the, you have to like break it in?
Sure. The strange smell usually is me, but yes.
Yikes.
It's kind of like when you do a toaster for the first time, you got to burn off all the chemical stuff from the sweatshop in China.
Yeah.
We're fine.
It's good. Yeah, they're great. Love them.
So we're there. Tucson Crime Free. You guys have an event coming up this Saturday.
Chris, we do have an event coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
For the listeners, the Tucson Crime Free Coalition will be showing The Gotaways. It's a short documentary about the border. It shows the real impact of failed border policies, and it's going to be at the Maverick September 28th, noon to 4. Go to TucsonCrimeFree.com for tickets. After the documentary, we have a great forum planned that will be moderated by critically acclaimed radio host.
Oh, my Lord.
Chris DeSimone.
Well,
and on the forum panel, we've got Heather Lappin, our Republican sheriff candidate. We've got Commander Robert Watkins coming up from Cochise County, as well as Cochise County Attorney Brian McIntyre. And these are all folks that are going to be able to tell us about the experiences that they're having on the front lines, how it's impacting Cochise County, how failed border policies are impacting Arizona, the rest of the state of Arizona. And it's going to cover a lot of things that we don't see in the local media.
How, what are we going to learn possibly new? There's been lots of border documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
What's maybe an aspect of two of this problem that Gotaways is going to delve into?
So I've seen a lot of the border documentaries. I've been down to the border and worked operations with the Cochise County folks. Actually, I was down there one time, and there were 7 different agencies involved. And just a side note, some of the folks that were there were undercovers. And these folks they played the parts of people that would be buying drugs. They played the parts of migrants that would be coming across the border. I was so amazed and really just taken aback how fascinating it was that these people, it was so legit the way that they played these parts and the way that these operations work.
Right.
And you also learn about how advanced the cartels are in terms of their operations, infrastructure, the way that they make money from the migrants and people wanting to cross the border and parlay that into the drug trade. So the big thing about the Gotaways documentary, so the last time I was here, Taylor Davidson and I saw it in Las Vegas for the first time at a film festival.
Freedom
Fest. The big thing about this one is that it covers the issues from so many different angles that normally aren't put together. A lot of them, for the listeners on this show, they'll hear some of the talking points that we've brought up, but it really it talks about the trafficking, the way that we've got people from our country going down, trying to make money, picking people up. It talks about the way that kids can order fentanyl off of the internet through Snapchat. It talks about the policies itself, the issues and impacts on the ranchers and the communities, and how every community across the country right now is becoming a border community because they're so affected.
Gotcha.
So, in a point on that, this is kind of interesting. You might have already talked about it on the show earlier this week. The Wall Street Journal just did a pretty comprehensive report on the new homeless numbers. Did you talk about that article?
Well, okay. I've seen it. We have local homeless stuff all the time. I didn't get to that. I have not talked about it on the air.
Yeah. So this Wall Street Journal article indicates that this is going to be the highest year for homelessness. And, you know, again, there's lots of different facets of homelessness. Drugs for amongst the chronically unsheltered. And that's, of course, what Tucson
Crime Free. Number one.
Yeah. It is for the people that we see, but then there's just the people that don't have a roof over their head. And what this is pointing to is that this new group that is driving that is the migrants.
Of course.
You know, it's people that are coming into the country and winding up in Chicago, New York, Denver, these other large cities, and they wind up on the streets because they don't have a place to go.
Hold on. The Pima County fools have told us that they have a house
and a relative waiting
waiting for them with a home-cooked meal and all this stuff. That's not true?
One of the remarkable things,
lying to us, it's crazy.
Heather Lappin and I went down to Cochise and met with Sheriff Daniels and Commander Watkins and some other folks. And the remarkable thing there is they were talking about is how when people are coming across the border and they're getting processed, they're all using the same address to go to in New York City.
Right.
You know, like, yep, my address is 102 West Jamaica Street, New York, New York. And that's how they get processed, and doesn't matter. Nobody cares because they're just, you know, Border Patrol is just so busy filling out the paperwork just to process people and push them through. All right, whatever. Here you go.
Yep.
Go.
It's a joke. Let's do this. We got to go to break. It's almost 7:15 in the morning. We're hanging out with Josh Jacobson, Tucson Crime Free Coalition. If you're not on their email list, you should. And that's TucsonCrimeFree.com.
TucsonCrimeFree.com.
And we're doing the Gotaways documentary, 12 noon at the Maverick on Tancredi.
Yep.
And he said noon to 4.
Noon to 4.
If we're there for 4 hours, I'm going to punch myself in the face. That's a lot of hours.
Well, wait a second. There's food. There's beer. There's
okay, so it's going to be open from 12 to 4.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
So like networking after is what we're saying.
Right.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be there for 4 hours just doing a moderating.
Well, you're so good at it, Chris.
You're a sweet talker.
He's always trying to get away from that fourth hour, Josh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Coming up on Jump In, Grant's going to have wrecked Steve Spain on. But then I like this one. His dad will be around in studio today, his Grant's dad, to compare Tucson to our native Detroit.
Ah.
Now, that's some award-winning Kruger radio.
Last time Ted Nugent did that, it was very interesting.
That's true. Here on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. There is Johnny Yuma by the great Johnny Cash. We're hanging out with Josh Jacobson, Tucson.
I like the song about Willie Wicky Up.
Wow. They got great jewelry in Wiki Up, is what I've heard. So, all right. So let me give you the insider. That was when Huckleberry was basically busted for using his county credit card to buy tens of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry because he was supplying the gift shop at the new visitor center downtown.
TMU wasn't around yet. Come on, Chris.
You know, I was going up to Vegas, and I decided to spend $77,000 on some nice Native American jewelry because no one that works for us, of the 10 zillion people that work for us, can actually go buy jewelry. No one has King Hook's eye for the shinies. We're hanging out with Josh Jacobson, Tucson Crime Free, this Saturday. 12 o'clock. It's going to be the Gotaways movie event. Go to Tucson Crime Free to get your tickets for $10, $15 at the door. A moderated post-movie discussion by yours truly with some good people from Cochise County and Heather Lappin, candidate for sheriff. And then networking and food and drink imbibing afterwards.
That's right. Yep. The documentary, it's about 50 minutes long. It's a quick documentary, and with the forum, it should be a really good, interesting conversation. I always learn from Commander Watkins and Brian McIntyre every time.
I've heard Watkins before. He's really good.
He is, and he tells it the way it is.
So we're going to get to this Kevin Daly interview from Crime mm-hmm. Free. We'll do that after the bottom of the hour break with Mr. Wuerr, who's fighting with the fentanyl freaks and the city with right. his wash behind his house and
yep,
what's going on.
The Navajo wash, yep.
But so we hear crime is down.
I hear that too.
Right? What's the reality? Because the reality is what you're hearing from the actual business owners.
Yeah.
Has it really gotten better? To me, people I've talked to say it's gotten worse.
Yeah, it's so interesting how this crime is down or crime is not down conversation has become such a political talking point, even with the presidential race, right?
Yeah.
And I can tell you within the last week, I got added to a text thread with there's probably about 15 different commercial property people on there that are talking about just recently a huge spike in copper and metal theft. And these are, you know, when you get copper stolen, you can sell the copper for pennies a pound, right? But when it's actually stolen, and you had a listener call the other day, when it's stolen from a piece of equipment like HVAC or commercial refrigeration equipment, it's tens of thousands of dollars to replace this stuff. It's downtime for the business. It's hours not worked for employees because the business isn't open. So that's just one example. And then when we talk about the crime tax, that is a great example of, you know, you can't really forecast how much crime you're going to be affected by and how much it's going to cost. You know, so this is really, really affecting the community in a bad way right now. And the reason it's difficult is because there's people that have drawn the line in the sand. If you say that crime is down, you're on one side. If you say crime is not down, you're on the other side of the political conversation. And because people are so tribalized right now, even if they see it with their own eyes, they're still going to say different because it doesn't go with their narrative.
Yeah.
Crime is absolutely not down. We see it in our media. Here locally, we now have more homicides than we did last year.
Yeah.
We have more pedestrian fatalities. In the county, we've got nearly the same amount of homicides for all of 2023. Sexual assaults, nearly the same for all of 2023. So this downward trend that they talk about.
Yeah, I saw Nanos pushing that on his crap.
Yeah, and you know what? And he uses AZDPS statistics. We use the statistics from the Pima County Sheriff's Department website. So, you know, I don't understand what the deal is with, confusing statistics other than you're cherry picking what you want people to see.
There was a meeting on Friday that mm-hmm. Monica is quoted in.
Right.
Right. And this was put together by Ben Hameen from BK, and he's a buddy with the mayor, Ben Hameen, but I feel like there was, and I've heard from a couple of people that it wasn't everything that was in there really wasn't represented in that story.
Yeah. So it was the way that Monica describes it. And, Monica Carlson does all of our outreach for Tucson Crime Free. She's at everything. You email Tucson Crime Free, you're going to hear back from Monica first. So she goes to this meeting. It was called late in the week. It was a Friday night and it had a good turnout. There were probably 40 business owners that showed up, Latino business owners, a lot of people that English as their second language. And they were there. It was almost like the very first Tucson Crime Free Coalition meeting that we had just over 2 years ago. We are now over 2 years old.
Yeah, I saw that on my Facebook memories. The pictures came up.
Yeah, yeah. So it was similar to that, where people were voicing their concerns and their frustrations over what is going on in their community. And so law enforcement was there. Some of the city officials were there. Monica was given the floor repeatedly and deferred to because she was able to speak to the truth of what's happening. And the group was in consensus with what everything Monica was saying, which is crime is not down. We're not getting the attention and resources from TPD that we need. There's too many 911 calls that are going unanswered, too many reports online that are going unanswered. And we've got a serious problem here. You can go down to Fort Lowell, or she actually challenged them, said, let's go to Amphi Park. It's going to be full of people that are using drugs and doing illegal activities.
Where's Amphi Park specifically, roughly?
Amphi Park is, if you're familiar with First and Fort Lowell, there's a church on the northwest corner.
Yeah, Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart. So it is just to the north of that on...
Oh, that's horrible up there.
Oh, it's terrible. And it's, you know, it's just chocked full of nefarious criminal activity. And we know for lots of different reasons, and this is not a criticism of the frontline TPD officers that we have great relationships and respect for. We know that there's just not enough resources, period.
Well, and the lieutenant on camera literally said, I think it was the lieutenant, said basically, well, if you're not getting, you know, response, whatever, you guys got to let me know.
Yeah.
Right?
So we have...
He said the right thing for the camera. But they're letting you know, and now they're getting so frustrated that no one shows up that they don't even call anymore.
That's right. And we're starting to have documented cases where reports are being made online and there is absolutely no follow-up on. And then when the city is called out on about it, they go, oh, we don't have these reports. Well, here's the list of numbers.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk to Josh from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this interview that Kevin Daly did with Adrian Wuhr. He's a former U of A professor who's going through hell with the fentanyls at the Navajo Wash. So you're on Wake Up Tucson. This is Matt Neely. His nickname back in Cali was the Silver Stallion.
Thank you.
So that's what. Now, before we get to the Adrian Wuhr...
But I want to know how he earned that name.
That's an over beer story, friend. Over beer.
Maybe I should run the dump button while he tells it.
It does involve with him standing somewhat clothed in front of an open fire in the desert screaming I am Cornholio, but it's a whole other it's a whole other story.
They promised not to tell. We're sworn to secrecy.
So before we get to the Adrian Wuhr Kevin Daly interview about Navajo Wash, Matt wanted me to ask you about what's going on with Santa Rita Park.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have a
park that the city just dumped a ton of money into with splash pads and renovation to make it family friendly?
You mean Fenty bath showers?
Oh, man.
Imagine taking your kid to the splash pad at Santa Rita Park.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, well, so splash pads are interesting just in themselves. I used to take my kid to the one at Brandy Fenton, and sometimes, I mean, you're just there with the general public, and you just see interesting things. Now,
it's got a little Walmart feel to it.
Now, add fentanyl, meth, and whatever else you got into the mix, and now we got a party. So Santa Rita Park, it's...
As Jeff Spicoli once said, hey, dude, let's party.
Yeah.
He was only on marijuana, though.
Oh, well, Santa Rita Park is just such a travesty because, you know, it's in a neighborhood that, you know, it's a cute, quaint neighborhood. There's schools around it. But just the deterioration of the neighborhood and the park, it's just, we've heard from a lot of the folks that live around it, it is just awful. Families can't use the park.
It's a neighborhood that really, really needs a good, nice park.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's it's always interesting when you drive past there at night and you see people playing on the softball field surrounded by, you know, essentially a growing encampment at the park. So I was actually at Santa Rita on Tuesday, checking things out, doing Tucson crime-free stuff. And right as I was getting ready to cross the street, I was met by a gentleman and his son. And the gentleman says to me, my son is, he's 16 years old, and he's started doing drugs. He's smoking marijuana. And I've brought him here to show him the realities of what happens when you go down this path. And so obviously this is a very concerned dad that wants to make sure that his son doesn't go down the wrong way because he's 16 years old smoking marijuana. So he asks me to take he and his son on a tour through the park. And we were able to, at this point, it's essentially an encampment. People are smoking fentanyl out in the open. There's lots of paraphernalia around. There's people in different states of, mental condition or having mental issues in addition to just wandering around, being nodded out or just completely passed out high. And it's gotten to the point where apparently the city's going to go in and clean it up. And if you read the comments on that whole thing is okay, great, they're going to clean it up, but what's going to happen next? Everyone's going to come back in. There's already an ordinance that you can't stay in the park after 10 o'clock. So unless we start enforcing these ordinances, what difference is it going to make? It's similar to the wash ordinance that they're saying they're going to enforce now.
It's the same our friend Lara with her dogs, right? She says that the pack is telling the animal control guys not to bring in stray dogs unless they're really bothering somebody because they don't want to take, they don't have enough capacity to take care of them. I feel like this is the same thing, right? Because they don't have enough of their housing first, which doesn't work anyway, and 90% of the Fenties are refusing that service anyway, right? That where else are we going to leave them? So why don't we just leave them in the parks terrorizing the neighborhood?
Yeah, and so the Wakeys have heard our comments on the different classifications of homelessness. And when we're talking about the chronically unsheltered, that's the people that have been living on the streets for years and years and years. 67% have serious mental illness, 80% admit to having a substance use disorder. Although from our experience, if you're living in an encampment, 100% of the individuals have substance use disorder. There's a reason why you're living in an encampment, and it's because you have burned every single bridge that you've got.
Correct.
And that's where you wind up. So when we say that 10% are receptive to treatment, I'm not necessarily sure that's 10% of the chronically unsheltered, because from our experiences, they're not ready. They're not ready. And so what has happened is we've made progress in putting people that are receptive into services, but the folks on the street now, they're the hard cases. They're not ready. And that's where enforcing the ordinances come in. That's when enforcing the laws come in, because those are opportunities to connect people to services that otherwise are going to tell you to pound sand.
Does it feel like the after a while we start becoming an attraction point for even more of these people?
Right? Oh, we know we are. California is busing people here at this point. We know that has happened. The city,
how do you know it's happening?
In the meeting that Monica was in,
right,
one of the city officials said, "We have absolutely heard that."
Wonderful.
Yep.
Miss Reporter Lady Renee Romo, when the city person says we're getting reports that California is shipping more of the Fenties to us, you quote, put this in the report. Don't pull a Stellar Carmona wrestling move here.
Right.
Okay. That's a big one. California is shipping more people to us.
And our fentanyl is probably cheaper than it is in San Francisco. And we know that Mayor London Breed of San Francisco has already said publicly, we're not offering support anymore. We're giving you a bus ticket out of here, because that's where they have gotten to. So the other thing I'll mention is earlier this week, I had the opportunity to participate in a forum in regards to a report that Julie Castle from the Common Sense Institute wrote, and Dr. Dan Ranieri from La Frontera was there. And he is always pounding the talking point of, there are shelter beds available. We just can't get people into them. And that's the biggest problem right now. And so we have, again, we've got this topic that really shouldn't be political. And we'll talk about it when we watch our little documentary we did with Adrian Warr. But, you know, there's so many people in the community that say, just let him be. Just be glad that's not
you.
Let him be.
In the end, the county and the city are just gaslighting everyone on this issue.
In terms of
the idea that it's housing first is the answer. What we're doing is working, right? No, mm-hmm. Don't look at what's going on the streets. Right. So Joe and I used to say in the old days, what's the scoreboard moment, right? The scoreboard moment, this one's the easiest. I don't even have to find, you know, when the mayor goes, oh, it's so data driven, right? Mm-hmm. Here's my data girl. Drive down the street.
Right. Go down the streets. And, you know, Dr. Ranieri talked about housing first in this forum the other day. And he said that it's been that terminology has been so misused. He doesn't even want to talk about it anymore. You know, the notion that we're just going to take people and put a roof over their head and they're going to magically get better, that does not work. The continuum of care is you get people, you stabilize them, you move them into transitional, you get them into residential, and then you can move them into permanent housing. Those are all the steps of the continuum of care. You have to go through each one. Otherwise, you're going to get the same results. People are going to live the same way they do on the street, but inside, and commit crimes on the streets.
The insidiousness of this is just unparalleled, because the city and the county folks who are patting themselves on the back and getting basically either a free pass or an ignorant take on it from the media, okay, it's insidious because it's cruel to the actual person struggling with the fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, you're literally lying and being cruel to the homeowners and the business owners and mm-hmm. the citizens of Tucson who are putting up with this on a regular basis, and you're telling them, it's not that bad.
Right.
Right? Our data-driven housing first is working, and you have Dan Ranieri, who's head of La Frontera, who's probably one of the OG leaders in this discussion.
Largest affordable housing provider in the state.
And telling you that the housing first model that they're talking about is a failure.
Right.
That's the story.
Yep. And we have some of our elected city council members that have told our business owners, just be happy it's not as bad as it is in other parts of the country.
Yeah, they always say that. I always hear that.
You know, the question that can still never be answered is, when does the rights of a few that are breaking the law outweigh the rights of many that are just trying to live, have a good family,
and pay your damn taxes.
Pay taxes, give back to the community. When do we get to the point where their rights don't matter?
I was just playing Ted Nugent that Joe and I did when we brought it up to him on the break. And Ted, this is 12 years ago, talked about how Democrats in Detroit used a few hardship cases to open the door to all of this, where people on the edge of being either working hard and being productive to not have this out to go do this, right? And I was like, oh my God, right? Because the few hardship cases is when Rahina goes, oh, the single mom with the two kids that have been outpriced of their rental by the evil landlord. I'm like, oh my God, that's what Ted Nugent said 12 years ago.
And next thing you know, you're killing people with kindness.
And
ersatz compassion.
And that mother with two kids, they are not the chronically unsheltered. They are not the ones that are in the encampments.
You are correct. All right, we got to go to break. I want to play this video. Yeah, I might be keeping you over the top of the hour. I just want to let you know
that. Yeah, that's good.
Adrian Warr, he's a retired U of A professor who's part of a lawsuit against the city on the Navajo Wash encampments. And literally him and his wife are living under siege is what we're talking about. We're going to play that interview with Professor Wuerr coming up at the after the break. All right. Willie Nelson versus Johnny Cash today. Hey, Ham Bones is open. It's Thursday in business today over on Craycroft. The specials for Wednesday are chicken fried steak and fried shrimp over at Ham Bones, just next to Mama Louisa's on Craycroft. All right, Josh, I want to play this video because it's about 9 minutes. It's going to take us to we might not play all of it, but I want to get everyone to just... So Kevin Daly, who is a current sitting Flowing Wells school board member, is part of your your board, your steering group.
He is, yep. And he is up for re-election now, so make sure if you're in the Flowing Wells area, vote Kevin Daly for Flowing Wells School Board.
I wholeheartedly approve that. So Kevin Daly sits with this guy. He's a retired U of A professor named Adrian Wuhr. And so Adrian basically was led the he's been putting up with all these Fenty heads in the Navajo Wash near his house. And he's part of a lawsuit that's still working its way through, right?
Yeah. So Mr. Wuhr is he's a very thoughtful guy, never wanted to find himself in the situation. He's lived in the Hedrick Acres area for, oh gosh, I think he says 23 years. Very compassionate guy. But the fact of the matter is this encampment is essentially in his front yard. And enough was enough. He's been assaulted. He's been punched in the face. He's had property stolen. The rampant drug use in the Navajo Wash right in front of his house. He and some neighbors got really upset about it. They ended up forming a lawsuit. And it is the judge ruled in favor of the city of Tucson the first go round due to the fact that the city has the tiered encampment protocol for addressing these kind of issues. But it is now under appeal, and Mr. Wuhr is hopeful that the appeal will go his way.
Especially since the camps are still in the wash.
they come and go. And the listeners can go to the Tucson Crime Free Coalition Facebook page and see this video. The first few minutes are really priceless because you see some of the folks coming into the picture, and it just really shows what this poor guy's been dealing with. And by the way, that is a TV in the background of the video that you're seeing there.
Oh,
Chris. That is sure a flat purchased. Screen TV set up next to a tent that is surrounded by drug paraphernalia.
God dang. All right, let's play it.
Hi, I'm Kevin Daly, and I'm a steering leader with the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. And here I have Adrian Wuhr, and he is with the
Hedrick Acres Neighborhood Association.
Hedrick Acres Neighborhood Association, who maintains this park. In the Navajo Wash. And we're here to talk about today a little bit about the lawsuit that just got discussed in court and completed this last week. So, Adrian.
Yeah.
What was the gist of the lawsuit?
Largely, we are saying that the city has been maintaining a public nuisance in this park by not maintaining it. So they have allowed the homeless camps to come.
So just to let you know, the Fenty heads are walking in the background to get into the tent.
Trash. They create sewage.
In the back.
They create fires, which have smoke, which carries into the neighborhood. They have violent outbursts.
There's a dude just stumbles in the background.
They steal. They steal from the neighborhood. They steal from the U of A students' cars. So we feel that the city should do something about it to enforce the laws on the books.
So let's go back to the court case. And let's say, were there any surprises?
Well, yeah, there were quite a few of them. And one of them that I think is not well known publicly is just how much support the city is giving to the homeless.
That's called neighboring.
They provide the tents and the tarps. They provide food. They provide water.
Who's giving them the
blankets?
City of Tucson.
Clothes.
Oh, the city gives them the tents?
They provide medical care. I have no idea how much all of that costs, but it was surprising to me because we never knew who was giving them the tents, and that made this area much, much worse. When the tents came, the homeless could stay year-round, and they do. Before the tents were given out so abundantly, the homeless during the summer would leave because it would get too hot for them. They couldn't tolerate it, but now they're year-round.
Would you call TPD? Did you discover anything about TPD's involvement in
Well,
this?
There's some history in that, yeah. So the original homeless outreach team in the police department was headed by Sergeant Jusling, and we generally found them pretty receptive. For example, they had a firm rule, no fires in the wash, because we have, you know, very nearby multi-story apartment buildings and residential houses.
I'd like to note that there's residue from fires there, it looks like, in the rocks.
Yeah. Jusling would, and his officers would tell the homeless to leave if they had fires. Then the protocol switched over to this main office, the multi-agency homeless protocol office, and the police were removed from the loop. And we felt that it definitely was taking two steps backwards at that point, because we got no responses. We would report the homeless camps and it went into this bureaucratic black hole. Mm-hmm. We never heard anything. They've gotten better and they now acknowledge receipt of the reports, but they don't do anything. I mean, obviously, we've been having this problem for 5 years now.
Adrian, what did you learn at the trial about the number of residents of unhoused are taking the opportunity for services that are offered?
The statistic we heard at the trial was about 90% refuse assistance. So they'll take blankets, they'll take clothing, but they don't want to go into a shelter like that.
So what kind of activity do you see out here?
You see a lot of drugs. In the court, the waste management said they're all intoxicated, and that's for sure. The camp right here, I cleaned up after a weekend, three guys, and there was over 100 syringe needles.
100 syringe needles?
Shoveling them up into garbage cans. We always see the fentanyl.
Has the city of Tucson, you know, you're bringing up syringes, has the city of Tucson ever given you any training or advice about how to manage needles?
No, but we give our volunteers that advice.
Oh.
We say, you know, assume there are needles. So don't go, you know, grabbing like the garbage cans, emptying that with bare hands.
All right, we're running up on a hard news break. We're going to go over to the top of the hour. I want to play a little bit more of this. There's a little bit more to go. Bill, hold on, but I also want to hear from our listener, Patra, who sends this email. She lives behind in the neighborhood behind the Weto Canelo on Oracle and under siege. So, Patra, hold on. We want to hear from you when we come back also. Josh Jacobson, TucsonCrimeFree.com. We'll talk about everything we just talked about. Remember, this Saturday, Gotaways, 12 noon at the Maverick, TucsonCrimeFree.com. $10 for tickets. Online, $15 at the door. So, we'll see you on the other side.